So many people tell me through the week that I want to read the Word, I just don't understand it. I want to know the Word, I just, you know, or either sometimes they walk into church and the pastor's so deep in theology that you don't understand a thing he's saying. And I've always said, if the average person can't come in our services, no matter who's teaching, and get clear understanding of what the person's saying, then we're not teachers. All we're trying to do is just show off what we know. And the average person should understand what I'm saying. The average person should understand what Jamie's saying, what Timmy's saying in the elementary. We've got to make it clear. This just kind of reminded me of this video, how a lot of people want you to hear them talk. And a lot of times when you read your Word, sometimes this is what you read because we don't rightly divide the Word. And we don't understand it because we don't understand how to read it. Go ahead, Brian. We'll have a test on this when we're done.
For a number of years now, work has been proceeding in order to bring perfection to the crudely conceived idea of a transmission that would not only supply inverse reactive current for use in unilateral phase detractors, but would also be capable of automatically synchronizing cardinal grammars. Such an instrument is the turbo-encapulator. Now, basically, the only new principle involved is that instead of power being generated by the relative motion of conductors and fluxes, it is produced by the modal interaction of magneto-reluctance and capacitive directance. The original machine had a base plate of prefamulated annulite surmounted by a malleable logarithmic casing in such a way that the two spurting bearings were in a direct line with a panometric fan. The latter consisted simply of six hydrocoptic marsal vanes so fitted to the ambifacient lunar wane shaft that side fumbling was effectively prevented. The main winding was of the normal lotus or delta type placed in panandermic semi-boloid slots of the stator, every seventh conductor being connected by a non-reversible turning pipe to the differential girdle spring on the up end of the grannies. The turbo-encapulator has now reached a high level of development and is being successfully used in the operation of Novotrundans. Moreover, whenever a fluorescent score motion is required, it may also be employed in conjunction with a drawn reciprocation dingle arm to reduce sinusoidal replenishment. It's not cheap, but I'm sure the government will buy it.
That's catalytic converter. That's all it is. It's something to hold pollution back that's involved to keep this ozone. I mean, but this guy went through everything explaining it. But a lot of times people try to explain the Bible that way, and it's just not that hard to understand the Bible. The Bible is not a hard book to understand at all. Sometimes the teacher makes it hard to understand, or the person that needs to be in it's just not in it. And if it's one or the other, that's why you got to count on yourself and what you get out of it. And you got to know how to rightly divide the Word of God. There are divisions that are very clear that churches do not share today. They'll open this Word and they will tell you that this Bible is all for you to act out. Every bit of it is your mail, and it's just not. If it was, then in Matthew, it wouldn't say that the blasphemer will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. The Apostle Paul said that he was a blasphemer. Something has to be different through the Word, and it has to be divided. And when we divide this Word, as I said last week in the ministry, is there are letters that Paul wrote that is specifically your mail. And when you study your Word, you got to understand that. That's where we get our doctrine. We are not Israel. It's clear we're not Israel, and we'll see that today in this Word. But the Bible is just not that hard to understand if you read it. But it's got to be read. First Titus chapter 1. I started to say First Titus. Well, that messed up right off the bat. Only one Titus. Titus chapter 1. We started in Titus about 3 weeks ago. In the book of Titus, we know that Paul is the writer. And I want to show you some things in his word, in this word here, of what he says. And we're going to be going through Titus, and I'm going to tell you, Titus gives a lot of direction for our lives. It's not an easy preach, because a lot of times, as I study it, I see things that are missing with me. I see things that I need to be doing differently. Also, it can easily convict the congregation of what they're not doing. But it's a letter that's written to give us doctrine and see where we're at. And sometimes we don't like the report card, but the report card is the best thing that we can look at. Right? And so that's where we're at now in Titus. In Titus chapter 1, let's look at verse 1, 2, and 3. Verse 1 says, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began, but hath in due times manifested His word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. Now let's remember, 3 weeks ago, we know that Paul is the writer of this letter. We also know by verse 1, he's a servant of God. But not only is he a servant of God, he says he separates the two. He says a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ. Now you have the two that are the same. But of course, Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. So they're separated. So it's clear that there's a separation here so that you can understand the magnitude of what Paul's called to do. Because when you're an apostle, you're called specifically by that person. Okay? And he says, an apostle of Jesus Christ. So we know he's called by Jesus Christ, God in the flesh. Okay? Now, in fact, he's not only called an apostle, okay? He's also the last one to ever be called an apostle by Jesus Christ. Tell you what, just hold your place here. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and let's look at verse 8. And you may be saying, well, why is that important? Well, if Paul was the last one spoken to by Christ on this earth to be called an apostle, evidently there was something that Christ had to share with him that nobody shared afterwards. So Paul must have evidently had the message that we need to know that's relevant to why he's writing this letter, or he wouldn't make it clear that he's a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ. He makes the whole letter important for you to understand that. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 8, you'll notice the Word of God says, and last of all, he was seen of me also. Paul's writing this letter in 1 Corinthians 15, 8. And last of all, he was seen of me also as of one. Now notice this. As of one, he singles himself out. He doesn't say as just like the others, like Peter, James, and John. He says as of one, a specific person, okay? As of one born out of due time. That means he was distinctly born in the time that he needed to be born. By the way, I don't believe this deals with just born as a birth, but born as a new creature, as somebody who received something that nobody else had. Because Paul's letters show that. Now, notice what you read in Titus chapter 1, verse 3. We read in 15:8, he deals with the born out of due time, right? Now look in verse 3. But hath, here's that word again, in due times, okay? That word is very important because we know there was a due. There was a time that was relevant, that was given to Paul, and that is given to us today in how we respond in God's Word, in what is speaking directly to us. Because God's Word is perfect, okay? It's infallible. He's a holy God who absolutely knows what He's doing. And we are established not by somebody giving me a dream and me interpreting it to you, not by me speaking a different language and having an interpreter here, not by the things that we do and how much we grow, okay? But we are established through God's Word. That's what it says. Okay? That's in Romans 16, verse 25. Now, notice why this was done. What does the Apostle Paul say? Okay? He says in verse 2, Titus, we're back to Titus. Titus chapter 2. Okay? Now, verse 2. Titus chapter 1, verse 2. Now, if he has in due times manifested what we read in verse 3, why was it in due time? Why? verse 2 tells you. In hope of what? Eternal life. This letter that Paul's written, and he's an apostle of Jesus Christ, and it was in due time that he was given this message. It was for hope of eternal life. I'm sorry, I got a feeling that's pretty important. It is to me to know what my eternal life has to do with. Okay? And if Paul's the writer, Paul's letters must be important, especially when God told Paul to write this letter, when it was written through Paul, and there's a due time. Evidently, time is important as you're reading your Word. It's important to know why it was written, who wrote it, and at what time it was written for you to understand what speaks directly to you. And everybody says, well, all the Bible's important. Well, I'm sorry, I don't see people going to the temple today. I don't see them sacrificing animals anymore. Time, progressive time, as things progress, just like this word progresses. There were other apostles called before Paul. But in progressive revelation, as things were shown by God through progression,